Hi everyone. Good. What I forgot what day it was as soon as we started. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to Levels. We are coming to you live from beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. And I am Jeremy Long, and I am joined as always by my co-host who has the natural glow. She's known as Becky with the good hair in the streets, but there she is, the sportsnista Cassandra Cousineau.
Cece,
what's going on? You got your dinosaur, you got your glow, you got your light.
You know, I picked the kids up from school today. It's very hot. And my son said, it's hot than a mug. And I agreed.
From the mouths of children. There you go. Yeah, man.
Children today, though. We ain't got no children around here today.
Are they in Taekwondo? They finally back?
No, they're here. I just announced them.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I thought that usually he's doing Taekwondo in the back, so I figured, you know, he was actually back in class.
He actually is. Got his blue belt last week.
Oh,
and
nice.
He actually told me, he was like, Mom, I just be kicking fools. We'll have to ask our guests about that.
Yeah, we'll have to ask about some Taekwondo, kicking fools in the head. We have a really fun show for you. Dana White, I think, said it best when describing one half of our guest, saying, if you don't know, now you know. And if you caught the Uriah Hall, Sean Strickland fight night card, the co-main event, featured an emphatic KO and one that really kind of brought the focus to a couple of different areas. And I don't want to waste it here, but it's really something important that, it's a conversation that keeps going on. It keeps happening. Yeah, it's fighter pay, but it's also celebration of, someone's dreams being realized and coming true and everything. So we're going to take those steps and talk a little bit to Cheyenne and JP Byes. Let me bring them in here right now, and there they are with their zoo animals and everything going on. Cheyenne, JP, how are you guys doing? Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having us.
Thank you guys.
Now it's Bays. It's Bays, correct?
Yeah. Is it Bays?
It's Bays, but I've given up. I just say it's whatever from now
These
on.
These Americans, man, again, yeah. Get right.
Exactly.
I knew that, and I still said it anyway. And then, you know what? That's on me. I'm from the South.
I don't want no problems.
I mean, buys a lot of stuff, so you're not wrong.
Well, there you go. So let's start out with the most recent happenings. We mentioned the Hall and Strickland and the co-main event fight. Now, that was on July 31st. Now, with a little time and a little distance between that victory and today, has it really sunk in yet, the ramifications of getting that huge, huge knockout for your career, Cheyenne?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, after the fight last week, I kind of really just put my phone away, sat back, hung out with my husband, my animals. I'm very happy I got the 50K, and I'm really ecstatic about my knockout for sure. But for me, I'm really not trying to think too much of it. This is just the beginning for me. So, I've really kind of like stood away from social media last week, laid low, but I got back to work this week, and yeah, I'm for sure happy about it, but I haven't kind of like let it settle in, you know?
Now, being in the middle of it, when I know when you're in it, you're just going through instincts and you're relying on your training and everything. But kind of walk us through that. You guys were in a little bit of a scrum on the floor, started getting up, and you saw an opportunity and released some of your Taekwondo skills upside someone's head. Can you kind of walk us through that, those closing moments of the fight?
So the game plan was to wrestle, but it's crazy enough. Like, I'm so happy I got a knockout I got a TKO, but I'm so happy that I was able to kick her in the face like that, because after my last fight, I grew up in Taekwondo. Like, that's what I grew up with. And, that's my background. But when I started MMA, when I was 15 years old, I kind of like almost abandoned my kicks in my fight style. Like, I had a lot of coaches tell me, you need to box more, use your boxing, use your hands are really good. when I was over at Fortis in Texas, you know, we were a boxing dominant type gym. And, you know, the game plan for me was never to kick, which I kind of never understood why, you know, like I've always known I had really good kicks. And, you know, my old coaches that I'm actually back with now over at Extreme, the game plan was to use that left kick. And actually after my last fight, my debut in Texas, I didn't have a striking coach, and the only striking I could afford was a Taekwondo coach again. So I actually put my uniform back on and I started privates again in Taekwondo. And that instructor actually told me I have some very dangerous kicks, and he says that my next fight I could probably get a knockout with one. So yeah, I left the Taekwondo and I came back to Vegas, and the game plan was to wrestle, but the game plan was also to strike with her. In the fight, when I took her down, I mean, the game plan was to beat her up on the ground, hopefully submit her, but also the way my style is if someone gets up, put their ass back down. So I was just happy that I was able to kind of see the opening, and I kind of just prayed to God that it was legal.
We were just talking before you came on. My son is now 9, turning 9 in September, but he's been in Taekwondo since he's 4. And he's a blue belt now, and he's so in love with these kicks.
It's addictive at that age. It's addictive.
He's been doing this 360 hook kick pretty much since he was 4 years old. And so when he got
that's a nice kick.
And he's a little guy. I always tell people because he's little, he either has to be funny or know how to fight. And
I'm a little guy too.
Yeah, don't fuck with little guys, people.
No, don't do it. He's a sweet kid. He doesn't want to fight. But in case he needs to, you know, he's prepared to do it. JP, we learned something about you about a month ago. You're not a bantamweight.
No, flyweight.
I'm not a flyweight. No.
You're not a flyweight. You're not a flyweight.
Crazy.
So take us through kind of like that evolution and how difficult that weight cut was for you. And then who made that decision?
I mean, I fought on the Contender Series back in 2017 against Joby Sanchez. And for that fight, I had a bad cut. I was at the time with Team Alpha Male, but I was in Vegas on my own. I was doing the weight cut on my own, running on the treadmill, getting in the bath, like just doing all the stupid shit. And I had to cut about 15 pounds in 24 hours before the fight, before weigh-ins for that fight. I did well the first round, gassed out the second, and I got my ass kicked. And I went back home, and I was like, man, I got my ass kicked because I gassed out my legs. What was the cause of it? And it was just a bad weight cut. I then went back to my team in South Africa. The coach there said to me, man, I don't want you to cut that much weight. At the time, I was like 21 years old. He's like, you're young. I want you to improve, travel, fight. Like, you shouldn't be concerned about cutting weight so much. So I bumped up to bantamweight, 135. I went on a 4-fight win streak, won the EFC bantamweight title, defended that title. Moved to Texas, and as soon as I arrived in Texas, Coach Safe's like, I think you can make flyweight. Can you make it? And I'm like, if the right opportunity comes, I'll always make it. I come from a wrestling background, and if the numbers are right, the contract's right, I'll do what I have to make the weight.
No, just for the UFC.
But I mean, the Contender Series fight came, but it came and went that whole year. So for a whole year, that coach is like, cut weight, you're going to fight. And I'm just on a year-round diet. Make the weight fairly easy in the Contender Series, no problem. Work with a dietitian, win the fight. But I didn't get hit in that fight. Not once. He didn't land any punches on me. I get to the debut. I cut about 45 pounds to make that weight division.
Yikes.
45 pounds to make flyweight. And I mean, every time I got hit in that debut fight, it's like I wouldn't be hurt or rocked or anything, but I would be falling the whole cage full.
Like, how does that work between the two of you, Cheyenne? I'm sure you see him suffering. And so, you know, you have the wife side, you want to protect him. And then you also are colleagues, your coworkers, you're on the same journey. So how did that work for you kind of watching this and knowing what the conversations were with the coaches?
Sure, I was suffering too. I mean, you know, like I was suffering with them.
She was suffering.
I mean, it's not an easy household when you're not 45-pound weight cut to a and me a 20-pound weight cut, which 20 pounds is nowhere near 45 pounds, but it's 20 pounds for a chick is, I mean, I'm definitely a straw weight, you know what I mean? I'm a perfect size for a straw weight. So for me, it's definitely not easy, but it's a process. So like, you know, you go through your emotions, your hormones, but then you have someone over here that your husband, not just like a boyfriend where you can be like, go home to your house. Like I have my husband who I have to sit and like watch eat the tiniest little bit of food. And I'm over here eating like big amounts of food. And I'm like, I'm way smaller than you. Like, why am I eating so much? But I also understand because it's weight cut. But when you have to do that for 3 months straight, it's a fucking madhouse. I mean, you just can't control the emotions.
And nobody happy. You don't know what food is coming out. Just like, okay, just asked if, you know, you're cold. But, you know.
I swear, that my funniest, my favorite memory that we actually laugh about all the time was, it was like, a month before the fight. And it was for our debuts. And we were both just like, just back from training. We haven't ate yet. So we're both kind of like on edge. And we were in the kitchen with each other. And our kitchen was fairly big. And then I went to go like turn around or something, and he was just like something of, we cannot be in the kitchen together.
I went this way, she went this way, I went that way, she went, and I was like, you're underneath my feet, get out underneath my feet.
And then I just looked at him and I was like, you need it. But no, I mean, weight cuts are never fun. I mean, they're always like, you know, emotional, but to watch him suffer with a 45-pound weight cut, I was more pissed with the old coach because I was like, why are you trying to convince us that he's a natural flyweight when we know he's not? But then we took matters into our own hands and we bought ourselves plane tickets, went to the UFC PI before we ended up moving here. We were like, listen,
I'm struggling we're 10 to weeks make out.
I mean, he was supposed to actually fight with me July 31st. We were both scared. Not a lot of people know because we pulled him out so quick early into the camp, but we were both scheduled to both fight July 31st again on the same night. We were like, okay, fuck, all right. Well, we need to make sure the camp goes smoothly. And the one thing that the last camp for us was a big problem was his weight cut for him. I mean, that's his problem. Me, I'm different. But for him, we knew that the weight cut was rough. So we were like, okay, we had 10 weeks left. Let's go to the PI. We're already struggling. So we went there and they told us straight up that he barely made the bantamweight division. So we told our coach.
My dietitian told me like 10 weeks before the fight. He said, we need you to stop training
MMA.
And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I have a fight. And he's like, I need you to train for a triathlon so that you can burn calories
and
lose weight.
Yeah, because we had found out from the testing that he had to lose 15 pounds of fat-free muscle mass in order to make flyweight. So, you know,
I'm walking around 140 pounds of fat-free mass.
So we told the old coach, but, you know, at this point, we've already kind of made our decision to move to Vegas. But, you know, we've made peace with the old coach. We're like, listen, you know, thank you for everything. But he's not a flyweight. We've known this we tried to tell you for a long time. But luckily he got JP in because he managed us as well. He luckily, before we moved out, he got us JP and Sean, I guess, to go over to bantamweight. Mm-hmm. So,
Well, Jeremy, I actually think they're following you because Jeremy is from Texas and he now lives in Las Vegas. So you guys have been following Jeremy.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, out of Fortis, my guy Ryan Spann and some guys.
Oh, that's our friend. That's our friend.
Yeah. Well, I grew up with Ryan around Beaumont. Texas, and followed him as an amateur into his pro career and all that good stuff. So that's my guy. I love Superman.
Giant teddy bear.
He's a giant, very soft-spoken teddy bear who will beat your ass at a moment's notice. Yep. I love that guy. Yeah. I love that guy. You know, you guys are a part of a rare tandem of married couples in the UFC, and of course, you know, folks like Amanda Nunes, who has her spouse, Nina, and all that. I know there are positives and negatives. We kind of got into a little bit of it when you're training at the same time, losing weight at the same time, cutting weight at the same time. I mean, for you, JP, as a husband, you know, I'll let you start with this one. What has been one of the best things about having a couple in the, you know, that's also a partner, that's also a fighter and doing those things? And what's one of the more irritating things that you've come across in your few years? I give it to you first so she can give you that side eye that she's giving you right now.
Like, don't fuck it up. Don't fuck it up.
Like, I
want to
know this one.
I mean, personally, for me, the best thing is just kind of staying on par, on focus. Like, it's really easy to fall off the path, and just having a person living the same lifestyle kind of
right.
keeps you on the road a little easier. Before Cheyenne, man, I lived on fast food and takeouts.
Oh, no.
And then I met her and she introduced me to health and cooking. And so having a spouse or a partner in the same industry, like for me, it helped me. She made me better. She made me more healthy. She made me just in my lifestyle better. And the worst thing would be if someone says something that I already said, but when I say it, it gets pushed to the side. So it's like, don't do this. And it's like, whatever. But then if the coach says it or the friend says it, it's like, oh, shit, yeah, that works. I said it in those same words 5 seconds ago.
It's different.
I mean, that's just married life.
Yeah,
I'm married almost 20 years, and yes, absolutely. Yeah,
we had our final sparring, and I was with our coach, and our coach is like, "Yo, like, for this week," he's like, he first asked me, he's like, "What did you do wrong? Why are you in the dog box?" And I'm like, "You know, it's fight weekend. I'm just the husband. That's just the way it is." And he said to her, he's like, "Hey, that's Coach JP for the week." His coach.
Oh,
really? had to help you out.
He helped me.
No, I didn't.
I was throwing the dog balls.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what about you, Cheyenne? I mean, you have this guy. I mean, he's mentioned about how you kind of straightened out parts of his life, you know, as you guys started walking on this journey together. What have you taken away from all this?
Kind of the same. I mean, we both work extremely hard. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we both work so hard that we both kind of needed each other to tell us like when to chill out, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the biggest thing when we first met. We were both always like on the go, like 3-4 sessions back. But then, you know, our bodies over the years have caught up to those. So like, I guess for me, like, I'm always injured. Like, I have so many injuries on my body that over the years those have built up, because when I was younger, when I first met him, coaches would tell me, "Hey, you need to go home. You need to rest this." Like, I dislocated my elbow and 2 days later I was on the mat in kickboxing class, fucking jabbing and kicking with one arm, you know? So like, little things like that for me, like, if he's sick, he'll want to train. And then I'll be like, "No, you can't train. You need to rest your body."
Right.
And I feel like for me, that's one of the better things. Like, I've noticed over the years when I've rested, like, my injuries, I'm actually better for training than compared to pushing through with those injuries and training. So yeah, that would probably be my thing. And then the worst thing, oh my God. is when he becomes Coach JP.
You see?
It sounds like you got the same complaint.
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, you're my husband. I mean, he's so knowledgeable and stuff. But I guess for me, the biggest thing is like, when we were in Texas, when we were with Fortis, he was the head wrestling coach for a bit. And he was also, like, we didn't have a striking coach. So we were each other's striking coach. He was my wrestling coach. And he was basically, I had a jiu-jitsu school, but with our scheduling and work so much, I did his jiu-jitsu classes over at Fortis more. So, like, he was basically my all-around head coach. I mean, if I'm being serious, like, we coached each other for striking. He was my jiu-jitsu and my wrestling coach. So, like, you know, it's trying to find that fine line of coach and husband. And I feel like my friend Jen Huffray, who also fought that night, her husband also is kind of her coach. And when she moved to Fortis, she stopped being coached kind of by her husband. But we always, like, when we talk, we're always like, man, they could just say one thing and we just get pissed off for no reason. You know, like, it's finding that line. But I don't know if it's a female thing. Like, he gets mad if I don't listen to him. But I just get mad sometimes because I'm like, tell me I'm pretty and just shush. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, you're pretty, and then that's going to defend the joke, right?
I don't know. It's just sometimes I would.
Tell her you're pretty.
It's like, tell me I'm pretty and feed me tacos. I don't
know. Hey, nothing bad can come out.
Exactly. But then it's like, no, you didn't do that right. And I'm like, well, fuck, I don't know. But if someone else tells me, hey, you didn't do that right, I'm like, okay, you know. Thank you, you know, but I don't go home to them, so it's okay, you know, but that.
You talk about defending the choke, you know, Cheyenne, your UFC arrival was quite frustrating to you. I want to know, was there t-shirts coming, like, follow the bitch home?
yeah, there should be.
Did you follow the bitch home? I was there that night. And it was confusing at first, like, you know, what actually happened, because all people saw was you spitting and out of context, or spitting. Her spitting. Her spitting. And it was all out of context. So people were kind of like, well, what the hell happened? Because if anybody's going to spat, it probably should have been Cheyenne, because that ridiculous headlock performance that went on there. So, you know, there's that arrival, and then you have this spectacular second fight. You get the fight of the night bonus, and then, of course, now the conversation happens again about fighter pay. In your short UFC career, has there been a baptism by fire about the business?
What do you mean by that?
Meaning, like, I find often that fighters are they're fighting, you know, and they don't pay a whole lot of attention to how the business is working. And it's often thrust upon them when they have to have these conversations. So you get the fight of the night bonus. There's a lot of talk on social media about how it shouldn't be that way, that you should just be making that kind of money. And so, you know, my question is, you know, are you learning more about the business side of fighting that you didn't know before? Did it come faster than you thought? And what are your thoughts now on fighter pay? And are you in that fray at all?
So growing up in this sport, one thing I knew was I've always known I would get to this level. Didn't know when, but I studied a lot. I watched how a lot of people, you know, I've watched people come into this sport, do really fucking well the first three fights, make a shit ton of money, and then they fall off. You know, so, like, I've kind of, like, watched how people, you know, how it works and how the fighter pay. One thing I would like to say is, because this is now my second interview, I'm getting questioned about the pay. You know, and I saw Dana kind of chimed in. You know, I know that my conversation of me having my raw emotion brought up the fighter pay situation, but I want to clear, I was not complaining ever about the fighter pay. I mean, I was very, you know, I'm aware that in my contract, if you lose a fight, your fighter pay stays the same. So when I won, I knew immediately I was getting that 50K. I just knew it. Like, you know, you kind of just know. And, you know, so when I was speaking about, like, everything we went through in our camp, you know, it was tough. But, you know, getting the pay and everything that's just happened, you know, I don't know. Like, I just kind of want to just throw it out there that I am.
You weren't complaining about it. Yeah. You were in the moment. Yeah. And it was real stuff that was happening to you at that time. You had, you know, the loans that you had to deal with. And I know you like to get your nails done. So there were some things that, you know, you want nice things. But meanwhile, you're putting your life on the line.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that when you have a great moment like that, it's all just going to spill out.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I was just fucking saying, like, oh my God, like, it's been a rough few months. Like, you know, I mean, and like I said the other day in an interview, I said, I'm not the only one that struggles. Mm-hmm. I'm not the only fighter. I'm actually more blessed than a lot of fighters. So, you know, I'm super grateful to even have made the 10 and 10 that I did. And I'm very extremely grateful to have made that 50K for sure. That's definitely going to help my family out a lot. So,
Did you throw down the gauntlet when you got home? You're like, JP, it's your turn. go get that bonus.
We're definitely very competitive, both of us. So we're this week, Monday, we were training kickboxing drills together. And then he was just like, I want to get the bonus. And I'm like, fuck yeah.
Well, I just want to get a fight, to be honest. I just want to get a fight and win.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, fairly or unfairly, you know, you end up kind of the center of attention for a few moments about a longstanding issue about fighter pay. But, you know, the video that first went out was, you know, your team telling you that you did receive the performance of the night. And, you know, you kind of broke down as JP came, you know, comes in and everything. Can you kind of walk us through those emotions that played right live out for all of us on a video that's been viewed now more than a million plus times? You know, what went through your head and what were you feeling in that moment when they said, hey, you're the one, you got the bonus?
You know, when they came to tell me, it was so like unexpected too, because like we're sitting there, they just brought me a Diet Coke and a sandwich. So like I went to go like sip my drink, and then it was like some younger guy, he came over with his phone, and I thought he was gonna tell me to go to media because that's what I was waiting for. Oh. And so like when they came over, I like stood up immediately because I thought I had to like walk over there. And then when he told me, I saw the phone, and so like I just turned around and I started crying. Like my body was just kind of like, fuck, you did it for your family. You know, like that's such a great feeling, because when you struggle and, you know, it's not just you, and you have your husband who struggles with you. You have your animals. My animals had to suffer with us. Like we, you know, we were homeless out here for at one point, just to make sure that I had a great camp and everything went smoothly. Like the PI, I mean, they helped us tremendously too. So, you know, the fact that it was a team effort, and, you know, we knew that my 10 and 10 pay was going to be out the door. So, and we were fine with that. We were like, listen, nothing matters besides getting my hand raised. Right. You know, if I get my hand raised, money will come in the future. Right. So when they told me that 50K came, I was just like, unreal. Like it was such a great feeling, considering when I left that octagon, my debut, I was fucking livid. I mean, I'm so pissed.
You wanted to keep fighting. We saw.
I mean, I got disrespected.
Yeah.
I had a bad injury. I had to get surgery. You know what I mean? Like, I even, in my surgery, I was supposed to get full reconstruction surgery on my elbow. And I was so mad because of the debut. And, like, you know, I lost. I was like, I need to redeem myself. So I even put that on hold and went with the minor surgery just so I can get back into the gym the next day and get a fight. So, you know, just kind of everything that I've been through since the debut, like the world was against us so bad after the debut. I mean, we were getting death threats, people telling us we deserve to die, we should go to Bellator, we suck.
I still get those because I haven't won yet.
Yeah. You know, the bad definitely outweighed the good at that time. But, you know, I just kept telling myself, like, pressure creates diamonds. And, you know, there was a reason behind all that. There was a reason why we lost. And that reason was for me to shine on July 31st. I truly believe that. I went through all that to make sure that, you know, who knows if I would have won. I probably would have never changed my life. I would have probably never moved to Vegas. My husband would have probably still been a flyweight. I mean, there would have been a lot of things that if we would have won,
it's like not
things would have stayed the same.
I would have been dead.
Yeah,
wouldn't have been a flyweight.
But yeah, so
that's awesome.
There was a reason why. Like I was praying, like before, I was like, why did these things happen? But then after the fight, everything made sense. We needed to lose to be humble. Like we got humbled, and there's nothing bad that can come from a loss, if you think about it. Like a loss can teach you a lot of things, and it taught me a shit ton of things. I still hate that bitch. I still wish I could slap her, and I hope that she hears my interviews, and I hope when she sees me she puts her fucking fist up and learns how to fight. You know, so yeah, I mean that's never gonna change. But my attitude walking into that fight, that octagon Saturday, I was so happy to be there. I mean, it was a lot better feeling than walking in there happy than being fucking livid like I was when I walked out. So yeah. It was a great feeling. Everything was great.
Now, before we let you go, we know the story. Now most people are kind of paying attention to the Bays and their story and what you guys bring to the cage. Let's reverse just a little bit. Tell me, JP, a little bit about your wrestling background. What got you into the sport? I mean, wrestling's a very demanding sport. And of course, the same question for you, Cheyenne. What got you into Taekwondo when you were younger, and what kind of brought you guys to mixed martial arts on your separate journeys?
So, as most of everyone knows, is I'm born and raised in South Africa, mm-hmm. and our national sport is rugby. So, as an Afrikaans kid, it's everyone's dream to be a Springbok, which is our national team rugby player. You want to go play in the World Cup and things like that. Right. So, growing up, wrestling was always a family sport. I wrestled when I was like 6 and 7 a little bit, but to the point where my parents would be like, oh, you got to go wrestle that kid on the mat. And I would cry, no one in the wrestle. And they'd be like, if you go win, we'll buy you new shoes. And I'll go on the mat, I'll wrestle, I'll win, and I'll get the new shoes, the new wrestling shoes, and I'll be happy. But then, like, by the age of 7, I went to first grade, started playing rugby, and I was like, there's less pressure on me as a small kid mm-hmm. on the rugby field. I'm chasing a ball compared to going and wrestling this other kid. So I was like, oh, I don't want to wrestle anymore. I just want to play rugby. I just want to play rugby, played rugby. And then when I got to the age of 9, it started getting put into like a bigger field, A teams, B teams. And I was a very, very tiny kid compared to everyone else on the field. So like, I need to do something that's going to improve it a little bit. I was like, I could pull the strings in primary school and handle myself. But once I got to high school at the age of like 15, the size difference between me and guys my age were huge. It was like 100-pound guy to like a 200-pound guy.
That was the last time you were a natural flyweight.
That was probably the other time I was one. But I was like, I need to get a trick or two that's going to help me in the scrum or when we go for the ball that I can like wrestle or get these big guys out the way. So I went back to the wrestling mat with my granddad and my brother. I was like, I need to wrestle again. I mean, I wrestled for a month and then I was like, it switched again. Then I was like, now I like all the pressure on me as one man. I like, if I win, like you won, not your team won. So then I fell in love with that. By the age of 80, I was like, I'm going to be an Olympic wrestler. I'm going to go wrestle. I already went to the world championships to wrestle, placed 12th. And I was like, I want to be an Olympic champion. Coming out of South Africa, like being a wrestler, they'll be like, oh, are you doing WWE or some shit? So it's not a thing either. I was just doing it as a club sport, training twice a week and then trying to go train everywhere. So I ended up going to a strip club where my friends were training within the strip club.
And they were wrestling.
And I was just a
different wrestler. Kind of wrestling.
Some jello wrestling.
Right. Yeah. I went to go wrestle with them and they're like, why don't you train boxing? I was like, I just want to wrestle. And they're like, any training is going to improve your fitness, your strength. Like training is training. So I just trained more trying to be an Olympic wrestler and then had my first amateur fight and the rest is history.
That's awesome. At the strip club.
At the strip club it started.
Sure. Yeah, we got
anything
that.
Anything can happen at the strip club. Anything. I bet you they got that here.
And Cheyenne, you know, how did you get into Taekwondo and why?
Yeah, I started Taekwondo when I was like 3-4 years old. I was obsessed with the movie Karate Kid. And when my sister and I was 3, she was like 7 or 8, something like that. My parents were like, listen, you guys can pick whichever sport you want to do, but you have to do a sport. And I was like, karate. I want to be the Karate Kid. And my sister was like, softball. But I was too young. I did private lessons up until I was 5 years old. And then when I was 5, I started at white belt karate. I stayed up until I was like 8 years old. And then we moved cities. And then when I moved cities, I actually had to find a new school. And then I ended up starting in Taekwondo. And then when I started Taekwondo, I was 9 years old. And then I had to start all the way from white belt because the katas were different. So started all the way back from white belt. I got like my green belt in karate. And yeah, so I was upset about that. But then I got my black belt when I was like 12 years old. I was an instructor for a very long time for Taekwondo. I actually didn't get to compete a lot because, or ever, because I was on the demonstration team and and I was a volunteer instructor. I never got paid for it. I was instructing by the age of 10 years old. And because in Taekwondo, that's what they do. They like to have the kids volunteer instruct until when they become black belts and they can take over, you know.
Right.
So, but growing up, I loved instructing. I loved Taekwondo. And then when I was 14, I watched my first MMA fight. And I was like, what the hell is that ground thing? Like, I had no idea what the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was. And when I watched the first fight, I decided to go home, look up a local MMA school. And then I signed up online for like a week free. And I was too young to drive, so I had to tell my parents. And then they were like, oh, my dad was like, okay, I'll take you for the week. And we'll see after the week. Then my mom was like, oh, hell no, you're not fighting. And I was like, and she's like, Taekwondo is enough for me. And I was like, Mom, I was like, I love it. I love it. Like, I was, I was an angry kid. Like, I was always looking for fights. So my dad let me go for the week. And every day I got my ass beat. Because back then, it was like 2010. I think, 2010 was when I started. And back then, it was just like, steroid dudes. It wasn't even like nobody under 155 pounds, like no one under that size. So, and here I was like 115 pounds at the time. And I mean, I was getting choked out left and right. So after the week, my dad was like, listen, I see something in you. I mean, you're tough as hell. So he was like, you can stay in it. And then for me, the rest is history. I got expelled from school when I was 17, my senior year. And then dropped out to
Why'd you get expelled?
For fighting?
Yeah. It wasn't just one fight though, right? It was the last fight. They were sick of that, all of the fights.
I fought in school only twice when I was in ninth grade and then my senior year. But they expelled me, stupid. And then then I was
that
like,
must have been some ass whooping you put on.
I got bullied. So, I'm not going to go in the whole story, but I got bullied. And the next thing you know, they wanted to mess with my family. And I said, fuck you. You don't mess with my family. And I beat their ass. And so the school decided to expel me. So, So I said, okay, well, they expel me for something like that. So my parents were actually so supportive of me getting expelled because of the reason why I fought. But I actually ended up dropping out at 17 because they sent me to like that bad kid school. And I was like, my mom walked me in there and she was like, you're out of your fucking mind. She's like, where's the dropout papers? And so then my mom literally told the school, she was like, you're going to send my kid to this other school for fighting and getting bullied. But
if that's what you want to do,
then fine. She's going to keep fighting. Then it's fine. She's just going to fight fucking amateur. Go ahead. So my mom actually became more supportive of me fighting when, you know, that situation happened. So I was 17 and then I was able to train full time, which I trained already full time at 17, right after school. I trained and then trained at night again. But at 17, I was able to train 3 times a day. And then 4 days after my 18th birthday, I was able to take my first amateur MMA fight. But I was 17 in my training camp. So my mom had to like sign off for me. It was kind of funny. But rest is history.
It's been a long journey for the both of you, but I also feel like you're both just getting started.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how we feel. Like, we're so young, but I mean, I'm not happy with where I'm at 26. Like, I obviously, wish I was higher up at 26, but you know what? Everyone has their own story, and I'm just glad that, I was able to represent our family name last weekend, and for us, I feel like we're just getting started.
JP, what's your schedule looking like? When might you be able to get back in there? Listen, the bantamweight division is on fire.
They phone me today. If they phone me today, I can fight August 21st.
Okay.
I mean, if they phone me anytime and be like, yo, we have something in 14 days, I will fight.
Is there anyone you want to fight?
Oh, well, I want to fight anyone. But I mean, yesterday they asked me on an interview and I was like, Not disrespectful. I want to fight the green-haired guy, the one that fought against Sean O'Malley.
Oh, yeah.
Guy from Bob, from Massachusetts.
I think he's a great guy. I think he put on a hell of a performance. He's tough as shit.
He's a zombie.
he talk shit. He went in there before he handled himself, and I like that about him. And I mean, his stocks before fighting Sean O'Malley was nothing. He got pulled up to something, and I hope that he can do the same with me if I do get that fight.
Yeah, Chris, the last name starts with an M.
Chris Soulless or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is soulless, yeah.
Yeah.
And have they mentioned anyone? I know it was just a few days ago, but have you got anyone in your crosshair, Cheyenne?
No. They haven't said nothing yet. Waiting, though. I mean, I'm definitely would like a fight, but I would like him to get the call at least before I do. I did reach out to Mick, and I told him, like, hey, I'm managing myself. Here's my number.
If something comes,
I want them to know that, I mean, if they give me 2 weeks, I'll make weight, you know. Yeah. That, I mean, that's pretty short notice. 2 weeks of notice, I'm good. I mean, I can make weight in, like, if I really had to, like, a week and a half, you know, like, healthier, you know.
Right.
But, like, my weight's not super high to where I need a few weeks. Like, give me 2 weeks and I'll be there, you know.
But you didn't really take any damage in this last fight, you know. Even though you guys were swinging for the fences. Yeah. It was wonderful. You know,
crazy. I mean, yeah, she hit me with a fucking two-piece in the beginning. And I was like, yo, whoa, long-ass arms. You know, so that was my first time fighting someone with, like, a 5-inch reach on me in a long time. So that was cool that, you know, I definitely got to experience a tall striker girl. Very happy I got to knock her out with something. But yeah, it was great. I mean, she did hit my ass though at first, and I was like, kind of made me mad. I was like, I don't like being hit first, you know. So
first blood.
She's awesome.
Draw first blood.
I felt really bad for the girl. Like, I, you know, it's never nice to lose, and I've been on the winning end and I've been on the losing end. So I'm excited to watch her come back. I mean, I know she's gonna go train super hard and come out fire her next fight. So I mean, I'll definitely tune in to watch. But yeah, I mean, one of us had to go 0-2. One of us had to, and it wasn't fucking me. I told myself.
Yeah, like, you even tweeted that at her, right? It's like, you're a nice girl. I think that you're a good fighter, but it ain't going to be me.
Yeah, straight up. Like, I've been in martial arts my whole entire life. I mean, I do all my research on these opponents. This girl started fighting in 2016 and did no sports before that. I'm like, if I lose to someone that's not, I mean, I'm a martial artist. Like, this is what I live. This is all I know. So for me, I use that confidence. Like, I'm very mental, and because the fight is mental, you mm-hmm. know. But me, I was like, there's not a fuck, no way am I losing to someone that has not put in the years that I've put in, you know what I mean? And my last fight, I lost to someone that I was better than. So mm-hmm. I was already mad at myself. I wasn't mad at my opponent. I mean, I was mad at her for other reasons, but I mean, I lost. I had to take the blame. I lost. I got out wrestled. So for me, I was pissed. Like, you know, I was pissed with myself. And to go in there and, you know, lose but disappoint yourself, that's worse than anything.
JP, was there a different element of frustration for you watching, like, how much wrestling was happening in that match? I mean, seeing as that is, like, in your bones.
I mean, yeah, I hate it. Like, I hate it a lot more now sitting there watching the fight. It was weird. It was kind of me sitting there, but not me. I got knocked out earlier that night and then still warmed up with her and went in there and cornered her, trying to, like, speak her through adversity while I can barely even find words to explain something.
Yeah. Right.
So that was more frustrating. The fact that I was so concussed but still in her corner, like, trying to help her, that was more frustrating. But then at the same time, we kind of expected something like that. We knew that girl had one move that could fuck us, and it was that move. Yeah. We knew that she had that. We knew the risk and reward we had. We expected to get trapped in that position but be able to escape a little bit easier.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off.
Sometimes it's hard.
But I was expecting, when you fight a fucking Mexican, you expect a firefight.
I was
expecting a lot more. And
yeah.
I was like, this is not Mexico. You know what I mean? Like, this is not Mexico. I was like, where? Like,
she has some different stuff
sorry,
happening.
Say,
but yeah, it was not at all.
Like, boom. Like, you know.
Like your last fight.
Yeah.
Like the last one.
Fight, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, okay, but I had to put that out there.
I think she expected a fight that I had with my opponent, and I expected a fight that she had. Yeah. I was expecting to have a wrestling grappling dominant fight against Bruno Silva. He's a black belt training with Henry Cejudo, and neither of us did that. Right. And then her, I expected the Mexican girl to have somewhat of hands, you know, like they feisty.
Yeah, yeah. She didn't want it.
And
she
it was opposite. They caught us off guard.
She was smart, though, because she knew she couldn't stand and bang with me. Like, I'm not being rude. That sounds so fucking terrible. Sorry. That sounded bad. But she knew when we traded that she was going to lose in the striking. So she did what she had to do to win. You know,
that's the part fans don't understand is that it's
on me, you know?
Yeah, I think fans don't understand often is you're fighting to win. And sometimes you have to make that decision not to play into the strength of your opponent, even if it's like a boring, ugly fight.
Yeah, and that's why I had it after the fight. I'm like, yeah, it sucked. Like, it's not what I expected, but she did what she had to do to get her hand raised. So
except for that thing at the end. Except for that little thing at the end.
Yeah, that was ass.
Oh, yeah, she's an asshole. Yeah, you know? That straight up, you're a coward who does that after a fight. I never met anyone in my whole life that's ever done that.
I'm sure your paths will eventually cross again because of just the nature of the beast and the division that you're in. It's a very small division.
Everyone keeps asking me about her, but I'm like, fuck, give me her then. Like, everyone asks me about her. Cause I mean, obviously it's a big thing to bring up, you know, I'm just I even told him today, I was like, I was actually in therapy today and they're like, oh, who do you want to fight? And I was like, I don't know. Canelo would be cool. And then they're like, oh, you're past her. And I'm like, yeah, but then if I'm past her, then we need to stop talking about her. Cause it brings up all these emotions. Like, I want to slap her. You know what I mean?
We will find a Walmart parking lot and we will get things settled.
Let's just go.
Well, guys, thank you so much for your time. Cheyenne, JP, awesome. We appreciate it. And it's amazing to watch because we get so few instances of this, having a married couple, partners in the same industry, in the same company, doing everything and trying to achieve the goals you guys are achieving. So hats off to both of you. That's okay. My dog's in there and he's doing his thing too. Well, but before I let you go though, I mean your fur parents, you know, introduce us to the pets. You
got who's in the house?
Yeah,
we have a lot.
You just got a new one though, right?
Yes. Yeah, I had to pay for him after the fight. He put us in debt too.
Look at this guy.
Oh my
gosh.
But there's a little one. A little
here's the new one.
There you are.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. Look how cute. What other names?
Here.
Yeah, the cats are somewhere. There's one. There's one cat right here.
There's not fisticuffs between the cats and the dogs. Do they fight?
Never. Oh, they're all best friends.
The names,
absolutely not.
This is Apollo. The new one is Apollo.
Ah.
The black cat is Maya.
He's got that puppy energy. He's biting on everybody. Yeah.
This one is Cash. He's all the way from South Africa. He was our first dog. He immigrated with us.
See, I've often wondered about it. He's from South Africa. Does he have the same accent that you have?
Oh,
deeper.
Actually, when I look at him, he reminds me of the little midget from Jackass.
She's not meaning me. She means the dog.
The dog.
I would hope.
I thought you meant Wee Man. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, the dog reminds me of that little guy from Jackass.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, that's his character. If he was a human, that's who he would be.
And we have one more cat, but that one is deaf and blind, so not we can't really call him for you guys.
Deaf and blind.
We talk to him like he's not deaf, but he can't hear nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cats in general. They only hear what they want to hear.
I know.
I have a cat in there too. She don't listen to me at all, bro. It's her world and I just live in it. So.
Exactly. That's
well, guys, congratulations on your success. You. Congratulations on your journey. I can't wait to hear whatever fight news is next for both of you. Hopefully, JP, we see you in there
absolutely.
Soon. You're the next one up. And, you know, I know you'll be aiming for that performance bonus to make it even. out there.
I'll try my best. Thank you, guys.
Your very best, man. And I'm sure that you guys, since you guys are out here in Vegas, we will see you at some point in the supermarkets or something like that. So best of luck. Congratulations. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it. And if people want to follow you online, if they want to join in on the journey, where can they find you on social media?
Sorry.
Well, he was letting us know where his Twitter is. Yeah.
She's like, you can find us at the Beige Family. That's where you find them. I mean, if they search JP Beige, they'd find it, or at Wrestling JP.
And then me, it's Cheyenne Beige or Shea War Princess. So
yeah, Cheyenne's Instagram is fire. So definitely go to her Instagram.
They seem to catch you in those most candid of moments where you're just kind of smiling and as you're in wrestling. Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm like,
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much, guys. Go get some dinner.
We appreciate
your time. Can't wait to talk to you guys again.
Thank you guys.
Have a good one.
All right, y'all too.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, guys.
There you go.
How cool of them. I know they were getting hungry.
Don't mess up like I did. And I even had it written down. I knew it was Baze, and I still said bye. So, American fans, come on. You're right there with me. I know, man. Terrible stuff. But I tell you what, they have a great story. And they're a great couple. Really fun. And, you know, kind of like we mentioned, the highest of highs and lowest of lows. And so it's a very interesting journey to watch. And one that, again, it's very unique to the UFC. It's very unique to fighting. But we're starting to see it more and more. I mean,
they're young enough to, like, actually really build something out of it.
Exactly. They're young enough and they're, you know, those kind of up-and-coming fighters and everything. I mean, we see it, like, you know, Paige Van Zandt and her husband Austin, and of course I mentioned Amanda and Nina, and you know, we've seen it Thiago Silva, I believe, and
Santos,
Yana Kuniskaya,
yeah, Santos,
and they just got engaged or whatever. So we're seeing it more and more, this kind of bleed over effect, and these partners joining up for being partners in life. So,
and I tell you what, you know, UFC is not afraid to fast track someone. And so they keep winning. I mean, they can go on a 2-fight winning streak and end up on a main card. So,
absolutely. I mean, imagine your second fight being Cheyenne. Damn, I meant to talk to her about that. But being in your second fight, and all of a sudden you're thrust into the co-main event of a UFC card on a very prominent UFC card. And then getting a TKO of that fact, all of a sudden you're just thrust into the limelight, and kind of what we mentioned, you know, all of a sudden you come front and center to a lot of different issues that have been, you know, raging in UFC and MMA talk for the last few years. But all of a sudden you're the latest athlete to be in the center of these conversations, whether you like it or not. And, you know, there you go, man. And to have your husband and partner beside you, getting his stuff off the ground and everything. It's such a unique story. It's so much fun to watch. Really excited to see where this journey
takes. And they're great. I mean, and, you know, they can get their marketing together because they are very, very marketable.
Yeah, very marketable. Good-looking young couple who, you know, it's one of these younger groups. They grew up in front of the camera and fun to talk to, easy to talk to. We'll say whatever's on their mind, and you saw that here tonight. So, Cece, you know, thank you so much for your time. You know, we're back.
We're back.
You had a great talk last week with WBO champion Jamel Herring.
And there's more stuff coming from that guy.
Lots of stuff happening with our guy Jamel. We love our guy. And his team, so much going on. We have so much more planned in the future here. We got some.
And Jamel wants to come back while he's in camp.
Jamel is always welcome. Jamel can come back on a Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'll make time for Jamel. And we got to see our boy Ralph. He's in Puerto Rico. He's in Phoenix. He's in Vegas. The guy is a world traveler.
I was really excited for him that he was going to be able to be part of the David Benavidez card, and Benavidez got COVID, and so he is not going to be able to participate at least anytime soon. That dude is snake bitten, man. I mean, poor, you know.
These last couple of years, and unfortunately for David, you know, it's in his prime years that all this is happening, with him first losing his title on the weight scale instead of in a fight, and then the COVID thing. And I know Ralph, who is our co-host here, it hurts on a different level because that's also his very close friend, very dear friend to him and his family and everything. So to see him going through these things, and you know, it's unfortunate. And look, you know, you can call me whatever, but especially if you're in the fight game, especially if it's one-on-one, there's no team thing into it, go get vaccinated. Get vaccinated and stay away from people who ain't about your money, because it's a very, if you don't fight, you don't get paid kind of
messing
thing,
so. Up all kinds of bags, not just your bag, other people's bags.
Yeah, it's the coaches and everyone else that's with you that don't get paid. You know,
cool.
a lot of people's bank accounts are hurting right now. So, you know, that's neither here nor there, but it's one of those things. So, good show. Good show. Good to see you. Your glow and your hair. I love your hair. Your hair looks like, I haven't seen you since the hair. You know.
Like, yeah, you know, we're working through it.
All right.
I did get a new brush. Best thing I could do.
We'll leave it at that. Well, for
wait one second though before we go. So Jeremy's absolute better half has another book out. And Rosie Can Be an Astronaut has been read Monday night, Tuesday night, and again, it will be read on Wednesday night in our home. Y'all need to go check this out. She's got a series. It's on Amazon. Amy Long, like, I love it's STEM. It is encouraging for young girls. It's funny. Really well produced, really, really dig it. So look at you, married to somebody capable and accomplished.
Man, look at you making me all blush on here and everything.
I wish I had it, but it's in her bedroom, so I don't have it down here with me.
Oh man, we will put that up at some point, man. Yes, my wife did release she's a publishing machine. Something you guys a ghost or something, but my wife not only produced a child's book called Rosie Can Be Anything. But she is also getting ready to release her second full-length novel on the 15th of her more adult series, romance, rom-com series and everything that she's been writing. So it's kind of one of those things, man. COVID has been a horrible thing, but it's also put us in different lights and released different things about ourselves and allowed us to find different things about ourselves. And she went out there and started writing some books, and she has been a tour de force as far as just writing, editing, and putting things out there. And so that makes my heart so happy that you really enjoy that book. And the second book, which will be based more on the veterinary side of things, will be available in the next month or month and a half or so, and then a third one before the end of the year and everything. So
that'll be a big hit around here for certain.
She's doing all kinds of things. So thank you so much. I appreciate that. But thank all of you guys for tuning in. I didn't put up much chat, but we got some comments here. Sorry about that. I was kind of bored in the conversation tonight, but we are back full time. So you can catch us here every single week with MMA and boxing interviews. Go check out thelevelshow.com. You'll see all of our past interviews. And wow, we have a roster of interviews that you can sink your teeth into. Lots of great champions and former champions, the movers and shakers of the combat sports world. So for Cassandra Cousineau, the Sportsnista, I'm Jeremy Lung, Mike Dixon, Ralph Velez Jr., all those great guys who are not on here, even my guy MP and our guy with the Boost Mobile plan, TC Martin. We will see you guys next week. This is